Anybody in here besides me like a mystery? I love a good mystery. Something that I absolutely cannot figure out. But, you know, mysteries aren't the same for everybody. Mystery could be, why isn't the fuel pump on my pickup truck working today? For a guy, that might be a pretty good mystery. For the ladies, it's probably something a little different. But you get the idea. We are presented in life with mysteries. And as we open Ephesians 3, you will see that Paul is talking about a great mystery. The mystery that Paul describes transcends cultural and ethnic lines. You see, mystery in the Bible, in that section of Ephesians, is talking about the fact that the gospel is for everyone. Absolutely everyone. Now you may stop and think for a minute and say, well, of course the gospel's for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. But you have to realize where all this came from. Think about the Old Testament Jews for a moment. What was their mission? God commissioned them to be a nation of priests, a holy people. Well, what's a nation of priests supposed to do? They're supposed to take God to everyone. You see, the Jews missed that point. They understood that they were to be separated unto God, but they never really grasped the whole idea of going out and evangelizing the world. As you move forward in the Bible, and you think about Jesus for a minute, do you realize that Jesus was raised as a Jew? He was a Jew. He was brought up in the Jewish tradition. He had a bar mitzvah. He learned the Torah. He did the things that Jewish children did. And yet, when he died on the cross, it was for everyone. Absolutely everyone. And he was very clear about that. Now, you move forward a little bit further and you get to Paul. Well, what's the story with Paul? Well, the story with Paul is very similar. Paul himself described himself as the Pharisee's Pharisee. You see, he was raised as a rabbi. He was raised by one of the most highly esteemed rabbis. He was very well taught. He was very zealous. He was zealous to the point that he was out killing Christians. This is the kind of guy Paul was. He was deep into that religion. He understood it all as it stood. And he believed that he was doing all the right things. Well, what happened? God got a hold of him and he turned him around. God, through a miracle, took the Pharisee's Pharisee and made him a disciple of Christ. So now you've got this Pharisee who is a disciple. He knows everything there is to know about the Jews. He knows how to relate to them. He can talk with them, walk with them. He's comfortable in the synagogue. He knows all the customs. And so what's God do? God says, well, okay, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Well, wait a minute. Not a decision I would have made. I don't know about you. I got this guy that's perfect for ministering to the Jews, and you're sending him over where? Over to the Gentiles. But think about it. God, in his wisdom, sent him to the Gentiles. The Gentiles don't have the background to understand everything that Paul's going to tell them. They don't have the history. They don't understand why Jesus had to die on the cross. They don't understand the sacrificial system. There's many things that the Gentiles had no clue about. And here's Paul. He's on the scene and he's saying, this is the gospel of Jesus. He died for you to make atonement for your sin. What's that about? Well, that's all about what I learned growing up as a Jew. I can tell you all about it. So you see, Paul was very uniquely skilled and gifted to go out and talk to the Gentiles. As we go through and we look at this we look at Ephesians 3, you're going to see that Paul talks about us being fellow heirs. What does that mean? It means we're being adopted into the same family. We're of the same body. We're all united together under Christ as the head. Jews and Gentiles. There's no separation. Everyone is equal child of God. We are partakers together. What does that mean? It means that we all will receive the blessing of God's kingdom. The Jews don't get a special place over the Gentiles over the Jews. We are all God's children. He loves us all equally. It doesn't matter what background we came out of. Jesus died for all of us equally. We are his child equally. And we are loved equally. As individuals, by the way, we are commanded to be like Paul. We're supposed to bring the gospel to everybody else. Many of us have heard Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." What does that mean? That means White Right, Texas, and United States, and the rest of the world. That's us. That's our mission. And I hope you realize that we are executing that mission. We are involved with the Southern Baptist Convention. We are supporting the International Mission Board. We are supporting NAM for domestic missions. We've even started supporting one missionary in Africa specifically, that we know by name now, and we know where she is, and we will know well what she's doing. So we are carrying out that mission. But by the way, the ability to carry out that mission is not our power. It's the power of God. It's his power. We would never be able to do it ourselves. So turning back to Paul, we see Paul is praying for his followers. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. "For this reason I will bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." For what reason? For the reason of the great mystery. The fact that the gospel is effective for everyone who accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. Paul is clearly bowing his knee. He's submitting to God in prayer. How often do you take time to pray? Not just to God for what your own needs are, but that you would be a witness to the people around you. That you would be like Paul and be willing to open your mouth and tell other people who Jesus is. The phrase, "the whole family in heaven and earth is named," in that scripture. And it's referring to the fact that God has created everyone and he is above all of it. There is no power on earth or in heaven. There is no being on earth or in heaven that is greater than God. He's created it all. He's over it all. He rules it all. Ephesians 3:16 goes on and says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with a might through his Spirit in the inner man. This is the first thing that Paul is specifically praying for. It's strength. Now, it doesn't mean the ability to pick up a big rock in the field and move it from here to there. That's not what it's talking about. It's a Greek word that is the opposite of discouragement. You could think about encouragement, but it's really the power to overcome, to achieve, to forge ahead, to be brave. That's what Paul's praying for us, for our mission. By the way, he's saying that we should be strengthened in might. Might in the Greek is dunamis. It's the root word of dynamite. Same word. It's used often in the New Testament for the power of God, and it is the active power which is beyond our normal ability. Do you realize that? The Holy Spirit indwells us and gives us power that is beyond our normal capability. We have His guidance. We have His strength, not ours, when we rely on Him. Paul directly says, His Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, working in our inner man. The Spirit strengthens the Christians to be productive and to do His will. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." I don't know if you're old enough to know it, but our outward man is definitely perishing. Death creeps up on us by years, if you will. But our inner man is not. Our inner man is growing and strengthening as long as we're walking with Christ. You see, Jesus not only died for us, but when He filled us with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is transforming us day by day to be more like Jesus. That's the ultimate goal. We want to be like Him. He wants to do that. The Bible, people talk about it in the Bible. They talk about sanctification. Well, what's sanctification? I'm being more like Jesus every day. That's what it's about. By the way, the Lord guides you and strengthens you towards that end. It's not always easy. God doesn't say, "I'm going to give you an easy path. I'm just going to convert you. Now, poof, you're like Jesus." It's not like that. You see, the Spirit walks with us day by day. And we walk through the fire some days. But He's with us. Ephesians 3, 17, 18. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height." Christ dwelling in your heart conveys the idea of Him taking up permanent residence. Did you ever think about that? Christ dwelling in your heart. When you accept Christ, He is dwelling in your heart permanently. You don't lose your salvation tomorrow. He's taking up residence. He's not moving. He's there. This happens through faith, by the way. It's grace that saves us, but it's through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not by yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So Paul is talking about that salvation. He's talking about us being rooted and grounded in faith. What does that mean? It means that God, through the Spirit, is providing us with a foundation to understand the depth of Jesus' love. As a Gentile, we could never understand that. We don't understand how precious the blood of Jesus is. As a Gentile, people probably, if they acknowledge the existence of Christ, say, "Okay, it was a guy that died on a cross." It wasn't a guy that died on a cross. It was the Son of God as a man who died for us. Very different. He took on the sin of the world. We can't do that. So we look at that and we can see the depth of His love that He would do that for us. You realize that He died for each one of us by name? He knew who we are. He knows what we have done and what we will do. That's covered by the depth of His love. Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul just said that he wants you to be able to comprehend the magnitude of God's love. Now he is saying he wants you to know it. There is a difference between comprehending something and knowing it. Knowing it means you internalize it. It becomes real to you. It becomes part of your human fabric. And as Christians, that's how we should be. We should understand that love of Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit to the point where it changes our life forever. To be filled with the fullness of God means that we're lacking absolutely nothing in our relationship with Him. God pours out His power and His love through the Holy Spirit. The ultimate expression, by the way, of God's love is expressed by Christ. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." We are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We are inseparable from a relationship with Him. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Do you see that? We die to self when we accept Christ, and we are raised to live with Him in God. It's a complete change of person. That's why the Bible talks about this rebirth, because we are born again. Moving on, Ephesians 3:20. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all above all we ask, according to the power that works in us." Think about that one for a minute. Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. You see, God acts way beyond what we can even imagine. We don't have to think about it. God is already there. He already knows. He knows what our needs are. He knows how to fulfill His mission, and He equips us for it. We don't have to worry about it. God can and does work beyond anything we can ever dream or imagine. We can't do it. He is beyond our finite minds. We come up on challenges, and what do? We look at the challenge and we say, "I can't do that. That's beyond me." It's not beyond God. If we would start thinking about our Christian lives as, "Is this outside of God's power instead of outside of my power?" we would find that our lives would be changed dramatically. We need to adjust our thinking. We are His children. We need to tap into His power of the Holy Spirit. Have confidence that He will work through us and He will provide us what we need. As I said, He's making us more like Him every day, and part of the way He does that is building our confidence through His work. Our focus must be on Him, not on the problems. Quit worrying about the problems. Focus on the Lord. Ephesians 3:21, "To Him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So Paul is putting a fitting doxology on what he just put together. You see, God alone deserves all the glory. We say, "Well, I'm His hands and I'm feet." Yes, you are His hands and His feet. He's the motivator. He's the planner. He is the source of your ability to have hands and feet. He is the source of all things. To Him goes the honor and the glory. Revelation 4:11 reads, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." God owns it all. He did it all. He gave us even the ability to think. We owe him all the glory. Through God, all things are possible. Any challenge that you're facing today is possible. Matthew 19:26 says, "But Jesus looked on them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" You see, God has a plan for us, individually and as a church. God doesn't hide his plan. It's open. We need to follow his will. We need to be humble before him and accept his direction, and sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes it requires a great amount of patience. But he is still in control, and all things are possible. The same way our church has got a mission. And we might say, well, gee, our mission's not clear. Well, yes, it is. It's in this book pretty clearly. Read Matthew 28:18. Find out what our mission is very quickly. We are to do the job that the Jews were commissioned to do. We are to take the gospel to the world. Well, the Jews, that wasn't quite fair because the Jews didn't have full insight to the gospel, but they knew God. They were supposed to take God. We're doing the same thing through Jesus. We know more of the picture. We're responsible for more. That is our mission. And with God's strength, we will carry it out. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is clear, that our mission is clear, that you are in control of all things. Lord, you are mighty, you are wise, you are loving, but you are also righteous and holy. So, Father, we thank you so much for revealing to us not only who you are, but what you would have us to do. Lord, I pray for each person in here, each person that hears my voice. I pray, Lord, for our church, that you enable us and empower us and direct us. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.